Do you believe that God wants to speak to you? I mean, you need to believe it, to receive it. That God actually wants to speak to you. I mean, he doesn't just want to speak to the pastor. He doesn't want to just speak to the leaders. He wants to speak to you. And this is one moment, 35, 40 minutes on a Sunday morning where you can sit and maybe hear a little bit about him. But what is he saying to you during the week? What is he saying to you on Monday morning? What is he saying to you on Tuesday morning? What is he saying to you, Quivers, concerning your children and your wife? What is he saying to each one of us? What is he saying? Because God speaks. God wants to speak to us. He has a desire to have a relationship with us. And I think one of the ways is that we unfolding and learning this year is really just looking at the gift. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I really want to unpack. And this week was a tight tamaleki in communities because we're starting to look at the Holy Spirit and we're looking at the gifts. And there was so much. It was a mouthful viewing communities this week. There was a lot that was said. And most of the community leaders were struggling to try and get through all the information that was there. But it's not just always about the information. It's about the inspiration. The heart behind it. So this morning, this is backed on some of the things that were said this week. And I want to clear up some things and some of your questions that you might even have. Actually, I want to try and, you know, one day you guys can text me while I'm speaking. And you text me your messages, you know, and say WhatsApp, you know, and ask questions. And I'll try and answer it like that. Maybe technologically we'll get there one day. But this morning, I want to look at a very important thing, and it, we need to understand the difference between the gift and the gifts, or the gift of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. We need to look at that maybe a little bit more this morning. What is the difference between the two? And I think there's a lot of confusion that is existing in the church today on this subject, purely because of a lack of understanding. And that's usually our problem, because we don't understand something. We just don't go there. Okay, here's a question quickly. Who has read the book of Revelation in the last year? The last year. I'm impressed. I must say, when I usually ask this question, who has never read the book of Revelation? Be real. Seriously, come on, tell me. You've never read the book of Revelation. Never, ever in your entire life. Go read it. Because the Bible says there's a blessing on all those that actually just read that portion of scripture. That's how it starts in the book of Revelation. Why do we do it? Because a lack of understanding. We're like, people have said things about that book, and you know, we see helicopters, we see Mao Zedong in there, we see, yeah, I mean, I've read it all, I've seen it all, and it's crazy stuff. So you get confused. Same with the Holy Spirit. There's so much that's been said about the Holy Spirit, and a lack of understanding. The gift of the Spirit, I want to get there this morning, is to the church. It was given after Jesus ascended to heaven, after Jesus' glorification. The Holy Spirit was operative on the earth. And if you look at it, you'll see that the Spirit was all through the Old Testament. Right in the beginning, Genesis, and the Spirit of God hovered over the earth. He was there. He was in creation. He was part of it. But now he is active and he's alive and he's with us. So let's look at John chapter 7 verse 39. We're going to camp a little bit in John and 1 John this morning and look at some scriptures. John 7:39 says, now this he said about the Spirit. Maybe you should go read the previous verses. Whom those who believed in him were to receive. So those that believe in Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. So if you're a believer in the full work of Jesus, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So when Jesus ascended on high, the Spirit was given and poured out. Jesus said to them, wait. John 14, verse 16 to 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. I mean, you can imagine, Jesus is walking with his disciples 3 years. And they've spent time with him. And all of a sudden, he tells him, guys, I've got to go. I've got to go. Jesus, don't go. Don't go. We need you. They're persecuting us. They're going to kill us. They're going to laugh at us, actually, because we believe in you. You're the Messiah. He says, yes, I am the Messiah. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but I'm not that King that they're looking for. I need to go to my Father, and I need to prepare a place for you. And I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back, but I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows about him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's crazy stuff. 25 and verse 25, 26 of that same chapter. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. If you want to understand the Word of God, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to unpack this. You need to read the book of Revelation and say, Holy Spirit, show me. Because he's going to bring all those things to remembrance. Acts chapter 1 verse 4. Jesus has ascended and he's kind of saying to them, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. This is what Jesus tells them. Go wait in Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. And then in verse 8, we see that he says that there is an outpouring. Why are they going to receive it? To be my witnesses. And then we see the day of Pentecost happening. 120 people in the upper room from all different parts of the world. The amazing thing is they list for us all the people that were pretty much there from all the nations. Go read it. I actually saw it after 28 years for the first time this week. They list all the people so that God can send those people that have received them to the different corners of the planet to preach the gospel. Because that's why we receive the Spirit, to be his witness. The Holy Spirit has been operating in the world, I said. But now in a new and special way, he comes to actually live in the hearts of his people. He came to dwell permanently in us. You see, Emmanuel was God with us. You know, in the Old Testament, it was God for us. God is for us. Jesus is God with us. But the Holy Spirit is God in us. He's living within me. That same Spirit, the Bible says, that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you right now. That's beautiful. Yeah, that should be good food. That's the kind of that you should have. Because it's just beautiful. Without him, I tell you right now, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. I wouldn't be doing anything. As for you, I want to read this verse to you. 1 John chapter 2 verse 27. Maybe if we read this. But the anointing, and I want to quickly divert a little bit, because there's a lot of misunderstanding. People have asked me the question on, but what about anointing? What is anointing? Salvo. Okay. Let's look at that quickly. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you. So who is abiding in you right now if you're a born-again believer of Jesus Christ? The Spirit. So can you see the connection? That the Holy Spirit is that anointing. The King James had to say, the unction. So if you were reading the King James, the unction. It's a mooi woord, swaar woord. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. Can I just quickly put the brake on there? Doesn't mean that you don't come to church and you just do whatever you want to, because I've got the Holy Spirit, brother. He'll teach me everything. No. You clearly don't understand anything about the church. You will be a pinky or a thumb all on your own. You're not part of a body. You need to be part of a body. And we're going to look at that right now as well. But as this anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him. God gives us discernment through that anointing. We start discerning things. We should know. And the Bible says we need to be wakey-wakey as Christians. There is so much junk that is out there. I tell you, if I let my kids just eat what they want to eat, they will eat just junk food. Mom and dad knows best. They know what we need. And so the Father knows what you need. The Holy Spirit knows what you need. But we want certain things, and the Holy Spirit needs to steer us away from that. If I just do what I want to do and not listen to the Holy Spirit, I will be a total wreck. The anointing, the salvum. Chrisma, I don't know if you know, but your name means anointing. Okay, because that's a word that is used in the original Greek, is chrisma. Okay. And it actually comes from krio, which means to smear, to anoint with oil. And the root word to that word is Christos, where we get Christ one, come from. The anointed one. The ultimate anointed one. So it's a noun which literally means that what has been smeared on, such as an ointment. Chrisma is that which the anointing is performed. In other words, the ointment, the salve, opgesmeer is. It's amazing. God has sealed you with something. God has put that anointing upon you that actually abides. It's not just the anointing. So let me teach you quickly, just to divert from that point. I know I'm running like squirrel and rabbit holes here and there. But there's right now, there's a corporate anointing that we bring in to this place. We usher it. Why? Because of the individual anointings that's within each person. As we come together, there's a corporate anointing which lifts when we go away. But when we get back together in, that anointing is there again. But then there's the individual anointing that's within you. Each one of us. Individual anointing. And you take that anointing with you. You take that anointing with you tomorrow morning to work, to school, to wherever you're going to go. That anointing abides within you. When we get together, that anointing is just corporate. Okay. It's that kind of, often you see in the Old Testament that the anointing fell in the place, and the same word is doxa. It's weight. It was like a weight of glory. Shekinah glory that came within the place. That's the glory of God as we usher Him in, as we worship, as we praise Him. He comes and He dwells amongst us. I don't want God to just come and dwell in Otsar and Joshin. I want God to stay here. This needs to become a place of like Bethany. Bethel was one of the places that Jesus wanted to go to because He had friends there. Do you know that you're a friend of God? That when you come into Joshua and Otsar and into this building is nothing. We could sit on that grass if we wanted to. Jesus is like, yes, my friend Rudy is there. I'm going to be there. I want to be there where my friend Mario is and my friend Pietra is. That's where I want to be. And that's the anointing. And the Bible says that the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage, the yoke of sin. It just breaks it. That's what we need, people. You cannot do this on your own. We need Him. The NLT paraphrases it beautiful, that verse. It says, but you have received the Holy Spirit. And He lives within you so that you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. You will know truth. When you hear truth, the Holy Spirit will tell you that is truth. Do you sometimes like hear something and it just don't sit right with you? Just, oh man. It looks good on the outside, but when you hear it, it's just like, it doesn't harmonize. It just sounds off. But you just don't know what it is. That's the Holy Spirit. And we need to lean on him a lot more, my friends, in the last days. Because the enemy is just as deceiving as he was right in the beginning when he deceived Eve and Adam. Since the last days, he's just going to intensify it. And he's going to, the Bible says this, that he was going to walk around and masquerade as an angel of light. There's a lot of things you're watching right now, maybe on YouTube, that I'm telling you right now is evil. I'm telling you. It's Satan masquerading as an angel of light. Having a form of godliness. Wow, beautiful. But then when you start scratching, you start seeing things. And all he needs to do is just get you 1 degree off right now. Because tomorrow you're 10 degrees off. That's all he needs to do. He just needs to be a little bump in the road for you and get you off the road. John, he actually declares in verse 20 that you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 2 verse 20. He declares this, you have been anointed, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. That is a very intimate knowledge, that word there. It's gnosko, epignosis. It means the knowledge between a husband and a wife, intimacy. Because of the anointing, because of the Holy Spirit upon us, we can know Jesus intimately. We can know him intimately. See, most expositors, if you read any expositions on this verse, will agree that anointing refers always to the Holy Spirit. And that every believer received it. In Romans 8 verse 9, every believer received it. Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. We need to belong. We belong to him because we believe in. We belong to him. We're his children. And at the moment, people, at the moment, where's Jan? Where's Jan sitting now? I can't do. In April 2016, when Jan got saved, that moment where he says, yes, Lord, we call that moment regeneration, regeneratie. Die Gees van God kom op jou en bly binne in jou. Jy's wedergebore, jy's 'n nuwe kind, jy's 'n nuwe baba. Onmiddellik. Nikodemus vra vir Jesus, "Wat moet ek doen?" Sê jy moet wedergebore wees. Wat bedoel jy? Ek kan nie weer in my ma se baarmoeder inklim nie en wedergebore word nie, sê Nikodemus. Dis die Bybel. Jesus sê vir hom, "Nee. Wat jy nie verstaan nie is, you need to be born from above. This is a new birth. This is the birth that was spoken about in the Old Testament, where I'm going to take the heart of stone out and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. It's a wedergebore. Kind van Jesus. Daai oomblik ontvang jy dadelik die Heilige Gees. Onmiddellik. There's not a subsequent. And we call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay. That immediately, right there, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm now going to mix with some of your theologies. Some of you have been taught wrong. So I'm going to teach you right today. Listen now carefully. Listen now nicely. Because of that, you're baptized. So baptism, who's been baptized? What does it signify? Your death. Basically. Okay. It's death. It's resurrecting into a newness of life. It's Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 that Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God. I'm raised up into a newness of life. Ons gooi jou nie toe met 'n bietjie sand nie, ons gooi jou heeltemal toe. 6 feet onder. But you're raised up into a newness of life. Okay? So in baptism, if baptism signifies death, then baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have died. You're dead. You can't be rebaptized. You don't get baptized by water again and again and again every time that you sin. So you get baptized with the Holy Spirit once. But then, you're baptized. And there's a lot of people that's baptized with the Holy Spirit, but they don't walk in the Spirit because they never fold. Ons kry 'n nuwe kar, ons gooi nie petrol in nie. Going nowhere slowly. So we need to put in petrol. We need to put in oil. We need to get the Holy Spirit on a constant basis. We need to say to Him, you need to fill me, God. Last year, I blew up a balloon. It's only fun when you blow it up. A balloon without air is pretty useless. I threw it into the crowd. It's a pretty useless balloon. Hey, would you agree? So, papa loni here. But if you blow it up, it becomes something. And that's exactly, we need the Holy Spirit inside of us all the time. Groter die kapasiteit, and God will stretch you. God sal jou 'n bietjie rek. Laat toe dat hy meer van sy gees in jou kan sit. Hoe minder daarvan Stefan is, hoe meer van hom kan in my wees. Is wat Johannes gesê het. I must decrease in so that he can increase. Minder van my, meer van hom. So you need to empty yourself of yourself. And say, Jesus, come and fill me with your Spirit more and more. Okay. So right there, when you're born again, you receive the Spirit. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 says this. Titus. He saved us, not because of our works. It's niks wat ek en jy kon doen nie. Done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Right there. Boom. The Holy Spirit is active. The same as he was active in creation, he's active in you being born again. Dis die Gees. Dis die Gees wat vir jou geloof gee, om te glo. Dis die Gees wat vir jou daai faith gee, sodat jy kan die grace van God sien vir die eerste keer. I was oblivious to grace. I did not know grace. John Newton, when he wrote that song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. He was a slave. He sold people into slavery. He traded with slaves. And God came into his life and he said, oh, what a wretch I am. I was blind. I wasn't blind. I was spiritually blind, but now I see. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit. The regeneration and the renewal part is what the Spirit will do within your life. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest gift that you can receive in your life. The biggest gift that Jesus, apart from his life that he gave us, the biggest gift is the Holy Spirit that he gave. And the church, I tell you guys, we can't do it without him. We have to have him active and alive in our lives. Later in the first epistle of John, John clearly spoke of the Holy Spirit, adding that the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given. That's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. 1 John 4, 13 says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. That's how we abide. That's how we stay in him. That's how we stay together, because of the Spirit. The Bible says, I don't recognize you after your own flesh now. I recognize you about the Spirit that's within you. That's what we look at. Years ago, a saint once said this, who God appoints, he anoints. You see, the amazing thing is this. Vance Hofner, he said this, he says, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the preacher may storm, the teacher may strive, the Christian worker may sweat, but to no avail. We need the Holy Spirit. God is not looking for superheroes. I want to say this to you. God's not looking for superheroes, for superhumans. This anointing is not an intensification of your own ability that you're able to do. So God het nie Kobus wat amazing is nodig en sê, okay, weet jy wat, nou, ek gaan nou vir die gees gee, maar dit gaan jou net super Kobus maak. Jy weet, dis Kobus plus plus. Net omdat jy die gees het. Want jy is al klaar so amazing, Kobus. Nee, weet jy wat nou, Kobus? Ek het jou glad nie nodig nie. Jy's actually 'n sondaar. Maar weet jy wat nou? Ek kies om my gees in jou te sit en dit sal jou enable. Dit maak jou Christus in Kobus. Dis dit. That's the difference. That is the difference that we not intensified our own abilities, but the importation of power upon the utterly impotent. Ek kan nie dit doen nie. I couldn't do this. If you know my life story, you'll know I couldn't speak in front of people. I couldn't. But because of the Spirit. He will equip those that he calls. He won't call the already equipped. He doesn't look for equipped people. See, we always think, oh, well, I first got to get equipped and then I can come to Jesus. I first got to do some spiritual Botox on myself and clean up. And now Jesus wants you just the way you are, warts and all. He'll change you. I want to show you a slide quickly, and there's a few things I want to show you this morning. But this slide, I want us to, if we can see it, the one about the gifts versus the fruit. Some people have asked me this question. What's the difference between the fruit and what's the difference between the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Okay, there's different gifts. We'll look at them during the course of the year. But the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23. We'll find it there. So fruit is produced from within. But a gift is given from without. The purpose of fruit is to control the flesh. Peace, joy, self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits, it's fruit. It's nine, but it's one fruit. See it as the segments of a big watermelon. It's a big watermelon with segments. So they all got to work together to be one fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits of the Spirit, but gifts. It's multiple. Believers should have all of that fruit. But believers should have at least one gift. At least. We all got given a gift. We know that now. A fruit is a result of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And the gifts are a result of the sovereign will of God, where He says, Kobus, this is your gift. Administration is your gift. And leadership is your gift. That's what I'm putting on you. And Kobus can grow in that. I believe with my whole heart. You don't have to just say there's only one. You can, Kobus can start prophesying. Kobus can start speaking in tongues. And Kobus can start discerning spirits. Why? Because God wants to. He's faithful with the little. God can give him more. Does it make sense? I hope this is helpful. Because some of you are looking like I'm speaking Greek to you. Just a little Greek. In Acts chapter 2 verse 38, the sinner is commanded. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. First thing, sinners. If you don't know Jesus, that's the first thing you do. What's repentance? Repentance is, I've walked this way, God, my own way. God says, no, turn around. You turn around, walk away from that, and you walk this way. That's exactly what that word means, to repent. Bekeer yourself. It's an omkeer. You walk away from that stuff. You leave it. Salomo skryf, net 'n hond gaan weer terug na sy wilme toe. You don't need to go back to that stuff. Leave it. What you've thrown in the trash, leave it in the trash. You don't go scratching it tomorrow morning. So he says that. Repent and be baptized. We're not going to go into that right now. Don't lead me into that I talk about it right now. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right there. Again, we see it. Immediately, we receive the Holy Spirit. The word is singular. It's a gift. The gift is for everybody. It's for Jews and for non-Jews. For Gentiles. It's for us. It's for everybody. So this gift is for all who believe and receive the grace of God through faith in the work of Jesus Christ. The gift is given to every believer at conversion. We saw that. You're then baptized by the Holy Spirit. This means that you were immersed in the Spirit and He in you. You're fully in Him. Now we need to yield. Now we need to live in Him. Now we need to be filled. He will only fill what is yielded to Him, what you've given to Him. If you give Him a little bit, Lord, we sing that song. We sang that song, I surrender all. Yeah, well, just like half of my heart, God. I surrender some. Some of us should sing that, eh? Because it's difficult for us to surrender all. No, you aren't. So maybe we should change the words to that song. I surrender some, sometimes. I surrender some, when I feel like it, you know. We should do that. A.W. Tozer says, Christians don't lie, they just come to church and sing it. Okay, we don't lie. We just come and sing it in church. It's hard to say surrender all. It's hard. God actually asked me during our time away with the elders. He said to me, what if I take your wife away from you right now? Can you still say that? Then he dropped the bomb. He says, you saw your kids Thursday morning for the last time. It's now Saturday. What if I take them from you right now? You'll never see them again. Will you still say that I love you more than life itself? Will you still say that? Oh, surely, God, you're not going to take my kids away from me. Well, if I've made an idol of them, we need to take captive every thought, everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ. There's a few idols we need to bring down in our lives. Jesus wants to be your all in all. We need to be able to say, I surrender all. Not some. Sometimes when I feel like it. We should be able to say that. I want us to move on quickly and... So that's the singularity of the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to also understand that He is the giver of gifts to the believer. These gifts are donations, literally, they're donations of power from God given to us so that we might fulfill the calling of God in our lives. It's a donation. He says here, here's that gift I'm giving you so that you can live the full Christian life. We need to understand the church as the body of Christ. As I've mentioned before, we need to look at the unity and the diversity of the body. My body is pretty united right now. There's not a part of it that's gone, that I know of. Okay. I'm pretty united. If you had yesterday what was tell us, as die kindertjies gebore word, het hy die 5 twinkies, die 10 twinkies, die 3 vingertjies, so stel al die goedjies altijd and so on. My body is pretty united. It's kind of banged up, but it's united. You know, I hope I'm a representation of the church, you know, a little bit, you know, I might be overweight. So some churches are a bit like me, you know, top heavy, overweight. But I'm all together. Most of it is there. All the parts are there. Some are working better than others. So there's diversity within my body. There's diversity. This thumb going to do a different job than this knee. And this ear is going to do a different job than this nose. Okay. So each one of us have a place and a part to play within the body of Christ. And we need to understand that God finds unity in diversity. Imagine we all look the same. We all talk the same. We all did the same. Boring. Boring. I'm so thankful that God made us different colors. Imagine we were all just one color. How boring that would be. Seriously. Because I don't think it's a representation of the colors that we have out there. 50 shades of green out there. See, that's the amazing thing about the God that we serve. That within the diversity that we have unity. Each member is different. So when you understand the church, you also understand the purpose of gifts. Three things I want you to note, and we're quickly running through this, is they are divine gifts. They are given by God. They all come from the same source. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 6 says this. This is where gifts come from. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, same Lord, varieties of activities, same God. Can you see the Spirit, Jesus, and the Father working together? So they distribute the gifts. They're the ones. It comes from the same source. It comes from Father above. comes from Him. He's the one, I said before, that decides who gets what. I have a scripture for that. I'm not going to ask to read that. But He also sets the members into the church as He pleases. So you're not here by chance in Oudtshoorn. You're not here by chance in Oudtshoorn, Josh Jane. If God adds you to this body, and that's also called the baptism into one body, which we're not going to talk about. So you need to come and die and learn live, just to go with the whole death thing. Because unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and it doesn't die, it will not yield a crop 30 or 60 or 100 fold, the Bible says. Daar's niks in een saad vir jou nie. It's pretty useless now as jy iets saai. Een saad. Daai saad moet ontkiem, hy moet doodgaan en dan moet hy lewe. En dan sien jy 'n krop. People, if you don't come and you die and you're baptized into one body, you will stay a single seed ministry for the rest of your life. Something I've learned. I've been arrogant enough in my life where I thought, well, God, you gave me a ministry. God, you placed something on me. And then He pulled the rug from underneath me. God has never, never intended for you to operate in solitude. Never. It's always us. The Trinity never operates in solitude. Jesus says, I don't do anything I hear from unless I hear from my Father. If there is this kind of closeness in the Trinity, then how much more should we have within the church? How much more? Okay. There's different natural gifts. There's a difference between natural gifts and talents and spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are supernatural. Some of you have amazing talents. You can play guitars. You can do all these things. These are not a spiritual, supernatural gift. I think if I had to pick up a guitar, it's a supernatural gift. If I even have to sing in tune, it's a supernatural gift for me. But just by the way. But ultimately, you have talents and you have gifts and things that you can do, but they're natural abilities. You're born like that within your DNA. But then God supernaturally gives you stuff. There's different gifts. The Bible uses the words of varieties of gifts. So different gifts are given to different people. God is also always about diversity. It is that diversity that we function as the body, like you just saw, looking at your own body. We should not all look alike. God made us and gifted us differently. And many quit the church because they cannot deal with these differences in others. I don't like Isabel. She's way too different than what I am. So I'm going to leave this church. I want to tell you one thing I've heard last week. What must I do to leave Josh Jane Oudtshoorn? Well, I don't know. What must you do? Give me a letter of divorce. I don't know what you want to do. But why do you want to leave? No. There's people that's nasty to me. Do you believe that those people are Christians? Yes, they are. Well, deal with it. Because you're going to spend eternity in heaven with the same people. Deal with your indifferences on this side of eternity. You're going to see Mariette there on that side. If you don't like Mariette now, well, you have eternity to deal with it on the other side because you're going to see Mariette in heaven. Deal with it. Let's deal with our indifferences. Just because you do something different to me and Corbus looks different to me, or somebody says something that's a little bit different to what I am used to. Don't you think that God loves that? The diversity? You guys have a lot to think about. These are things I think about. These are gifts that are dependent on one another. You can't function in one gift all on your own. And I kind of said that already. We are unified. We are not uniform. We don't all look the same. Each member is necessary to the body to function properly. So just as the body cares for itself, the church needs to care for one another. Christ is the head. We need to move as He directs. So if the head turns, He says, we're going this way. My body can't go that way and the head goes that way. Can't do that. That will be division, disunity. So three things I've seen as dangerous within the church and maybe even here. One of the dangers in the church today is the neglect of these gifts And we wonder why the church is not growing. The Bible says that God's given us these gifts so that we grow. God's given us these gifts that each one of us play our part so that we grow. Not just numerically. I don't want just bums in seats. I literally want you to grow. Where the two of you spend time together and then Ria talks to Razan and Razan talks to Ria, and it's just, yeah, they grow. Because Ria's got a prophetic gift and she speaks prophetically into your life and you're like, wow. And you've got an encouraging gift and you encourage her because it's going very difficult at school right now. And the body starts growing because the two of you are operating in your gifts. But you go to different communities. I know you don't, but you go to different communities and then you grow within that community. And you come to church and all of a sudden you have a word and you come to Stephen and you say, Stephen, I feel like I have this word burning in my heart. Can I share it? Yes, share it. And the body gets built up. That's how we operate. But the danger is, another danger is that people fear these gifts. Oh my goodness, some of the gifts that are feared, speaking in tongues. Years ago, I was talking to a bunch of young people. And this little girl said to me, what is this speaking in tongues? Praat in tonne, nie tonge nie. Like, no, tongues. There's iemand wat baie praat, maar ek weet nie. But speaking in tongues, healings. It's one of those gifts that everybody is kind of, whoa, I don't know if I want to touch that with a pole. Why? Because you've also seen the excesses. You've seen the junk. And now you're afraid to operate in it. The prophetic. Even that is one of those gifts that's been misused. You're afraid to use these gifts. See, in actual fact, you have control issues. You have control issues if you want to control all the gifts of the Spirit. That's your issue. You have a control issue. Because you don't understand something doesn't mean you can't control it. The Spirit says, I will blow wherever I will blow, like the wind. I will give and I will put that on whoever I want to. We need to fear the grace. We need not fear the grace of the Holy Spirit. We need not fear it. And then another danger is that we have incomplete bodies. So you can be drawn to a specific gift. That person has got a prophetic gift, so everybody runs to the prophetic gift. And there's a bunch of prophets sitting together with the prophet. And that's all they do. They prophesy one to another. Vang vir ons 'n tarantel. You see, this will attract others with the teaching gift or the prophetic gift or whatever gift. What you will end up with is a bunch of well-fed, well-studied teachers or prophets, and the rest of the body is neglected. It's time that you contribute more than you consume. Feed others and yourself. Embrace all the gifts that God added to our local body. One part, remember this, one part cannot and should not function as the whole. One part cannot function as the whole. I am not the be-all and end-all. I have certain gifts, and I know my limitations. I know what I can function in. The Lord has endowed me with certain things, and that's what I have. I ask Him for more, because I know I'm faithful in the little. He'll give me more. But ultimately, we need one another. The task of one cannot be given to another necessarily. My task, I can't always give and go, Kovas is no Yona. Tag you it. I can't do that. Sometimes I wish I can. Sometimes I wish I say, Mario, you be the pastor of this church. But I can't. It's what God has placed upon me. But then God has placed something on Kovas and on Mario and on Johan and everybody else. All members are to be directed by the head, by Jesus. And in ending, this is why every born-again believer needs to be in a local church. And if you're here visiting this morning, I hope that you hear what I'm saying. But if you're in a local church, I want you to get involved there. Be part of it. Go to your pastor. Go to your minister. Go to whoever you and say, I want to be part of this thing. I don't want to just be a pew warmer. God has placed something on my heart. And God has placed a gift upon my life to do something and serve your community. Serve the body that God's placed you in. You need to be in a place where you can exercise your gift to the glory of God.